Hey,
Hello, beautiful,
beautiful
people.
Indeed, that is one of my biggest pleasure, is always when I went to my own
farm.
So
I think it is important to first understand what a healthy relationship with food is for us to know what it is not.
Not trying.
I can relate. I can relate.
Selfish.
So you could be your own farmer pretty soon. Who knows?
Trust me when I tell you, there will always be challenges. There will always be risks.
Seems like we have a lot in common.
Welcome to the Let's Talk Agriculture podcast show.
And of course, it's your favorite girl, Sharita Hosa.
Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to the Let's Talk Agriculture podcast show. So I want to take this opportunity to welcome you all to the year 2023 and to the first episode of the Let's Talk Agriculture podcast show. I hope you had an amazing holiday. Please feel free to send me an email. I would love to know how you spent your holiday. So just so you know, Let's Talk Agriculture is an agriculture public relations and communications firm. To learn more about how we can help give your brand visibility and establish it as a thought leader, please explore letstalkagriculture.com. Once again, I welcome you to the Let's Talk Agriculture podcast show. I am your host, Sharon Idahosa. In this week's episode, we will be talking about how to make agriculture attractive to young people. As you already know, agriculture has been in existence since the time of our forefathers, yeah. But best believe that things have changed, really. Things have really changed and will continue to change. So gone are those days where we moved about with hoes and cutlasses, because now things are evolving. And as things evolve, we need more youth with capacity to transform the agricultural sector. But we have a role to play, and that is what we will be finding out today. On this note, let's welcome our guest for today's show, Aziz Salau. Hello, Aziz. Thank you for joining the show today. How are you doing?
Hi, Sharon. Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing fantastic. Happy New Year. It's really awesome to be the first guest for this year's first episode of the 2023 podcast. Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you, and thank you, and Happy New Year as well. Okay, so let's just get this ball rolling. But first, we'd like to learn more about you. What has been your journey in the agriculture space? I mean, what's the drive that makes you want to work in this space?
All right, so thank you so much for the question. For me, so I was actually lucky to have an agricultural background, though, when I applied for studies in FUNAB, as Federal University of Agriculture and Agriculture, I applied to study computer science, and at the end of the day, I got into plant breeding and seed technology. So I think at first I was thinking it was God's way of punishing me, but at the end of the day, it turned out to be a blessing in disguise, because it was really, really a very good thing for me to have actually studied agriculture. But then the passion started immediately I finished my undergraduate studies. It was really interesting, the 5 years course. And I got more exposed into, you know, working with small-scale farmers and in the development space, research and development, when I was opportunity to serve at the International Institute for Tropical Agriculture, IITA. Here in Abuja, that was 2016, and you know, I was really exposed through a project then, the ATAPS project. It was a project that was funded by the African Development Bank in collaboration with the Federal Minister of Agriculture, Ministry of Agriculture and Rural Development. So it was really an eye-opening experience for me. It made me understand that yes, you actually don't have to be on the field to call yourself a farmer. And I also got to know that agriculture is actually very broad, you know, talking about the value chain from production to, you know, consumption is actually very, very broad. And I can actually key into different parts of it and also, you know, make ends meet. So it's been really interesting. I was very happy to actually, you know, got into another project for my master's and on sustainable crop production. And since then, it's been really, really awesome for me, working with small-scale farmers, working with policymakers, working with young people and every other person, all stakeholders along their cultural value chain has been really interesting. And what actually, you know, drive me to actually start my own initiative was, okay, maybe during my NYSC, we're exposed to getting, doing different community development service. And from there, I was able to lead and initiate some one or two or three projects talking about engaging with farmers in Ushafa community, you know, getting to know their challenges and being able to provide a solution or one or two solutions for them, getting to actually, you know, initiate the process of establishing some of the NYSC farms for corp members to have access to it up till now. We actually initiated the process then, and it's been a very good one because everybody now knows that yes, NYSC has a farm, and as a corp member, you can actually, you know, benefit or make use of the farm. That's if you're actually interested or passionate about what you really want to do. So it's been really interesting, and for me, growing up, I see a lot of issues around food waste, especially when I go to the markets. And I just feel that, oh, there should be a solution to this problem, because the challenge is that what I got to know is that most of these people that actually even get the food from the farmers, because the first challenge is small-scale farmers or rural farmer has the challenge of access to markets. So when these goods finally get to the market, like half or quarter of it is actually already support. And people that are already selling, the market people are willing to, you know, latch on that. So they are willing to buy at a ridiculous price, and they don't even know what to do with the one that actually gets for it. Immediately it gets to them. So it's I see it as a challenge, and I took it upon myself to actually do some research and got to know that there's actually what we call value addition. So that was part of what actually caught my interest and drive me to actually start my own initiative, which is a community action for food security initiative, like the name implies, community action, you know, everybody's collective effort for food security. And it's been a journey, and we are still really pushing hard to make sure that small scale farmers, producers, you know, and also consumers get to, you know, see the dividends of agriculture, and also for everyone to actually get involved. And for young people, what we do is to tell them that you really don't have to be on the field to call yourself a farmer. Keying into different agricultural value chain. Indeed. Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I totally agree with you. You don't have to be on the field to call yourself a farmer. I mean, there are so many areas that you can tap from. And that's what I keep telling young people, just like myself, because I'm also young. My goodness, I'm not old. So that's what I keep telling people. And I mean, there are different areas you can tap from. There are different opportunities in agriculture. You just need to see it. You just need to find it. So you don't have to be on the farm. So thank God we've passed that era now where people think we have to be on the farm to be a farmer. So I see that you're one of those, you're like us that didn't plan to study agriculture, but you just found yourself there.
That's interesting to know.
I like that. I like that we are identifying ourselves now. I think I've had so many people saying, I never wanted to study agriculture, but I just found myself here and I loved it. And for me, I loved it too, because I mean, I never wanted to study agriculture. Like, who wants to study agriculture? I don't know. Initially, when I got the course, I was like, what am I going to do? Because I wanted to study biochemistry, you know, and I got okay.
I can't imagine. And part of what we're actually doing at CAFS is that we go to different secondary schools and do a sort of mindset change. The idea is for we are not going there to do anything. We are just going there to for them to actually think themselves and just, you know, guide them through the thought process. So the idea is, okay, do you even know where the food you are eating is coming from? Because I remember when we were growing up, they will ask you, what do you want to become in the future? Everybody wants to be a banker or a lawyer. So nobody wants to be a farmer. So the idea is for us to actually do some sort of mindset change, for them to know the food, where the food they are consuming is coming from. And from there, it will really help them think through and even want to try something as little as getting a seed and putting it in the sand and, you know, watching it grow. And from there, they get to change their mindset and get to understand a lot of things about agriculture, about the food systems as they grow up. And so when they see some things as they grow up, maybe when they get to higher institution or something, they could easily connect with it. So that's part of what we're actually doing, because whether we like it or not, food is culture. Like food is life. It's what brings everybody together. So whether you're a farmer or what brings all of us together is the fact that without food we cannot, you know, survive. So
I mean, we all eat every day, so whether you like it or not, you're involved in the process. So if you like, shout, I'm not a farmer, I am not this, so you are still in agriculture. As long as you're eating that food. I know. I'm telling you. I mean, so we can agree that agriculture is a large sector, of course. And we need to work as a team to build this sector the way we want it to be. As we all know, right? Youth play major, major roles in every sector, and we want them to get involved in this sector. So my question here is, how do we get them involved? Because you see, just like I mentioned earlier, many youths, when they hear agriculture, they are thinking another thing. They are thinking cutlass and hoes, my hand, blisters, this and that. So, so I'm trying to say, how do we really get youths involved? How do you think we can get them involved? So let's not go down to the strategies. We can talk about that later, but let's try to see how we can really get them involved in agriculture.
Well, so when we look at the statistics at the moment, statistics of, you know, national unemployment by the National Bureau of Statistics, we are about 23 to 24%, you know, young people are talking about 70% of the population, they are unemployed, you know. So the root cause has to be identified, and also there's need for us to actually pay attention to different factors that leads to young people's migration to urban areas, because you agree with me that 80% of what we are, what is being consumed in the urban city is being produced in the rural area. So we are not even talking about the things and some other things. So, but then there's need for us to pay attention to all these things, because it's actually very, very important, talking about the constraints young people are actually facing for them to even think of agriculture. It's now beyond the old agriculture they are even thinking about. Talking about the lack of credit, that, you know, big profitability margin, the capacity constraints, all these things need to be examined. You know, before we used to have technical schools, but then I don't think we have like a substantive technical school for agriculture as it is, except for maybe the 5 federal universities of agriculture we have in Nigeria. There is need for young people to be trained in modern way of agriculture. And when we talk about modern way of agriculture, we are talking about agribusiness, you know. And this needs to be backed up with different enterprise that needs to be funded, because it's one thing for you to actually get a skill. It's another thing for you to get some startup seed for you to, you know, test what is really happening. And, you know, there's a lot of risk in agriculture. There's need for us to see how the risk, you know, this different risk affecting young people's low involvement in agriculture. So a lot of things need to be examined, but then it's very important for us to be strategic and also identify that, or also understand that the agricultural value chain is actually very, very big. So apart from the crop or animal aspects, the value chain is actually very, very long, and young people can actually key into different agricultural value chain. For example, we have production. When we talk about production, the what happens, you know, before we even produce is enough for you to actually, you know, get involved in agriculture. Is it the processing? Is it the value addition? Is it marketing? Is it consultancy? You can even key into different research. So it's actually it's just for us to make sure that we are passing the right message at the right time to the right audience. Mm. Because now it's beyond you even having a farm. It's beyond you knowing what is happening. A lot of things has changed. Yeah, for a while now. So there's need for us to actually, build capacity of young people. There's need for us to have something like called a reorientation, There's need for us to understand the nitty-gritty around the agricultural value chain, and there's need for us to actually have passion. So it's not really about, oh, I want to do this because I don't have anything to do or something. So we need to really be strategic in bringing young people to agriculture, and we need to make agriculture look sexy for young people, And it's so looking sexy is one thing. The nitty-gritty of this is another thing. So it's even beyond maybe flying drone or getting drones to actually water or do some other things. There's need for us to have basic understanding of what we really want to do ourselves. And because the it may interest you to know that if you get funding to bring like 200 young people together to train them and to build their capacity, at the end of the day, some won't still be interested. So there is need for them to even understand what they are even going to from the beginning. And that is why there is what we call the value chain. So, and you have to work with your strength and your interest, because your interest is actually very, very important. So, and it's easy for you to align your interest with what you are able to do without anybody stressing you. So the value chain is there. We just need to make sure that the factors needs to be well examined, and also there's need for proper structures to be in place, proper policies to be in place. And even now, what we just need for young people to actually key into it is an enabling environment. An enabling environment comes from policies around agriculture. How are these policies favoring young people that are willing to come on board? How are they favoring them? So all these things are challenges, and we need to tackle them. And it's not like a day thing. So we've been doing some of them, but then we need more ends. We need more collaboration, like you mentioned the other time. There's need for us to, work together to achieve a common purpose. So talking about bringing young people into agribusiness, agriculture, is just for us to identify different agricultural value chain, itemize it, and let them key into different one they can actually, that they can work with, and also see or look at the sustainability strategy around it. That's actually very important, because you don't want to start something and, wrap up in the next 2 or 3 years because there's no funding, because there's a challenge, or there's a little, issue. So there's need for us to actually be more focused and stay resilient no matter what. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that. I totally agree with that point you've made. It's very important that you get a better understanding, more like a foundational knowledge of what agribusiness is all about, and also know the basis of business, because you see, so many people are just diving right into it because they want to make profit, and then when it doesn't give them that profit that they're looking out for, they give it a tag. I don't know if you get me. They give it like a different tag and saying, oh, this is not nice, this is not good. So I think it's really nice that you're saying that we should itemize the different value chain, if I may put it that way, so that they can see. So if we're working on poultry farming, so you're seeing what exactly comes with poultry farming, you're seeing the benefits, you're seeing the risks, you're seeing what is involved, and then when you look at it yourself, you'll be able to know if you can work in this direction, if you can work alongside with this. Is this your strength? Can you work with this? Because so many people are quick to start agribusiness, but they don't have a good understanding of what agribusiness is all about. So they're just quick to start. They want to make quick money. Agriculture is not quick money. I don't know me. I don't know about any other person, but I know agriculture is not quick money. If you want to really benefit from this sector, you have to be ready to put in the work. It's not something that just happens overnight. I mean, you have to put in the work, and that's when you look out for the value chain that works for you. I mean, look at me now. I know they go farm more, but I have decided to see where I can tap from. So now let's talk agriculture. It is focused on just agriculture businesses. So it's a communications firm, and we're just working with agricultural business. Now, this is another value chain. I don't have to go and go and start farming to get to where I want to get to. Another thing I keep mentioning is you don't have to start a farm for you to be in agriculture, you know? What about meeting the person that already has a farm? Okay, I want to handle the marketing part of your business. You've succeeded in creating something for yourself, is it not? So you don't really have to, go right into the field and start farming, because some people they really try to get right into the beginning, They want to start from scratch, and that scratch you want to start from may not really work for you. It may not be your strength. So it could be that it's the marketing part that is your strength. So you just have to look for an existing business and tap from it. Right. So that's actually my take on this. So when you said that we have to like put it one after the other, I mean, I summarize all of these are value chains so people can see that these are the areas you can actually tap from this area. You don't have to go right deep into it, because I think that's where they are missing it, because you can't start from scratch. I don't know farming now, so imagine I want to start my own poultry farm. Instead of me to start employing people to get it done for me, I want to start doing it myself. I don't have to do that. I can have a farm and somebody is managing the farm for me. I can be focusing
Absolutely.
on the marketing aspect of that farm. I may not even be going near the farm, but I am doing the communications for that farm. Do you understand? So everything is not for you. You just have to choose the area that works for you and make sure you excel at it. So that's my
That's
take on
it.
that, though.
Yeah, I agree with you because it's more than you having even the funding. If you have the funding and you don't have the right techniques or mechanism to actually make sure that everything is running fine from the beginning, depending on the aspects you are keen into. Even if you are looking at marketing, you don't have strategies to actually convince people, bring in investment, it's actually going to not going to work. So there's need for us to make sure we are tying our passion, our interest to anything we are keen into in the agricultural value chain.
Yes, it's all about identifying what your area of strength, identify your area of strength and apply it in whatever it is you're doing. So yeah, thank you very much for sharing. So back to something interesting now. So I came across a post saying that Nigerian youths are not interested in agriculture, mostly due to the perception that farming is unprofitable. I mean, this is something we're just talking about. Now you're saying something is unprofitable because you've had a bad experience, mainly due to the fact that you weren't able to identify your area of strength. So I don't know if you can throw more light on this, if you can clear this misconception. We don't want people thinking that agriculture is unprofitable, please.
Well, there's been a lot of misconception from the beginning, and I think it would continue to be like that. So a lot of people feel that, farmers are uneducated, but then it's not true. So like you always just cited that farming is actually not profitable. So if you go and interact with the person, you'll get to know that the person did something wrong at a point in time, and that was what actually caused he or she to actually come up with that. With that analogy, but then there's like I said, there's a lot of misconception that some people feel that there's no future in agriculture. Talking about no future in agriculture, you saw what the AFDB president, Dr. Akinwumi Adesina, what he said about the future billionaires, they're in agriculture. But then some people just feel that yes, you can just do 1 + 1 and get 2, and you are in agriculture. No. So a lot of things need to change, and the challenges that we really don't, well, of course we have them, talking about different companies or warehouses that add value to a lot of their products. We have a lot of them, but then the idea of people getting exposed to all these things, is actually not there. So they just feel that yes, agriculture is not profitable at all, because like I said, is there's a lot of risk in agriculture. So if you have to make sure, if you have to do the right thing and to get the right results, you need to put the right amount of effort. And talking about, it's not really about now, yes, we have some new varieties of seeds that will make sure that you get a high tonnage when you're harvesting, but then it's now beyond that. So if you are making use of those high quality seeds, but then you are not practicing good agronomic practices, or you are not practicing good water management, or you are not applying the things you're actually meant to apply at a given point in time, it's really good. It's not going to give a good result. And people don't really understand that. And it happens in both the crop and livestock agriculture, because talking about poultry, there are times that you can't do anyhow with those birds. They also have their own life, and they breathe too. So when it's just like you're inconveniencing human being, they tend to slow down. And in their own case, they just tend to die. Talking about different pests and diseases that affect, we are also being affected by different viruses. We get sick and we get medicine to actually make ourselves better. So all these things need to be put in place for us to actually, see the profitability of agriculture. When you're talking about profitability, it's not really about, it's even better for you to start adding value. And adding value could come in any way. When you are marketing a produce, you're actually adding value to that produce. Some people don't even, I know some young people that they don't even have a field. What they just do is to go to where those produce are being kept. They just pack it, and the only thing they do is to rebrand. And rebranding, when you are rebranding, what you are supposed to sell for 10 naira, you are selling it to 100 naira. That's what packaging does for you. So talking about the line of value chain, to people that are producing that material, they are using to rebrand it, they are also in the value chain, but they don't know. People that are giving you sticker, the person that designed your sticker, all of them are in the value chain. Because without all those, you can't do anything in isolation. You can't
Of
just feel
course.
that, oh, okay, I can do it myself, take paper and just do it. No, you are talking about proper packaging. So all those things are actually very important, but then we are not taking, cognizance, we are not taking notes of all these little things that actually bring money. Some people is one person that will get the contracts, but over 100% is going to be part of it directly or indirectly. And that is why even when we are doing our reporting development space, we have a direct beneficiary and also the indirect beneficiary. Everybody's actually important, but then there's need for us to also do some like have some kind of education, farming understanding of a lot of things that needs to be done. I think if this is probably introduced in the school curriculum, it will expose young people, to the intricacies and enlighten them more about the importance of agriculture. So there's a lot of myths around agriculture, and we just need to continue to, make people understand that there's a lot more to do that people are not doing, and we need to really key into different value chain for us to really understand what we're actually doing, because everything has value chain. So if you are not keying into any of the value chain, you just feel that yes, you are not progressing, or it is not profitable. And that is why even some people even feel that it's only old people that go to farm. So people feel that farming is done in the rural community. We have urban farmers now doing their thing using different methods to actually propagate, and everything is working fine. Some people feel that farmers are not. They are not social people. They don't know how to enjoy life and some other things. Or all those things are does not correlate. Because if you see me and you feel that, oh, once I tell you I'm a farmer, you just see my hand first and check that, are you sure you are okay with your course? Like, it's gone beyond all those things. So we just need to keep reorientating people and making people understand that there's need for us to actually do a lot of visitations. Just it's happening. We have a lot of things that have been produced in Nigeria. Talking about, for example, now we have different companies that produce rice. They not only grow it, some of them just buy the paddy. They have the milling machine. They mill, and do you know what they do? When they mill, they now produce a foreign packaging then put the local rice there, because the misconception is that all rice that are big local rice, they are not good for
They are
consumption. And
not
it's a
good,
lie.
and it's a
So
lie.
they tend to package it. We grew, I, my master's program was on rice. We did all those things, we grew it, we milled it, and we ate some rice. If you eat Faru 52, my sister, you would know that all these abandoned Philippines rice we are eating is not it. But then people really need to understand and take all those things off their head. And maybe what the government could actually do is to invest in more infrastructure and also empower people to actually, you know, own all these things for other people to see what is really happening. We need to move past production. We need to start adding value to what we produce. And it is actually happening, but it's actually happening. It's happening under, because even we ourselves, we are not proud of our Nigerian brands. So even talking about maybe the clothing industry, everybody wants to wear Versace or you want to wear Gucci. Meanwhile, there's a Shea Evody or somebody that is producing, you know, local, but then we are not willing to do that. We need to start embracing our own. We need to start embracing ourselves. We need to start embracing what we produce. And we need to start, you know, doing the talk or walking the talk, or as they say, it's actually very important. And it's a collective effort. Government cannot do it alone. We need to come together strategically to come up with this, because we can't continue to talk about the problems. We need to start, we also talk about the solution, but then we need to start practicing the solution. We need to start doing it bit by bit. And before we know, we are there in terms of, you know, sustainable food transformation in Nigeria. It's actually very possible. And it may shock you to know that other African countries are really looking towards the action Nigeria is going to take. So I think the ball is in our court. We just need to be sincere what we are doing and, you know, work strategically and collectively. Everybody needs to be involved. Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Of course, everybody needs to get involved. This is a collective effort. We have to work together to see the agricultural sector that we all want. We have to work together to see Nigeria the way we all want it. I mean, we have the capacity to be self-sufficient, so we just really have to work together. Thank you so much for coming on the show today and sharing your insight with us. I really, really do appreciate you coming today. So guys,
yeah, thank you.
Pleasure. Guys, we have come to the end of today's episode. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you learned from it. I really hope you do. If you have any comments, you can drop it on our website or whichever listening platform you are listening to or you're subscribing to. But please don't forget to subscribe on Apple, on Spotify, on Google. We really love to hear your feedback. You can also please check us out, letstalkagriculture.com. We'd love to hear from you. Do have a lovely time and see you again next week. Bye-bye.